Welcome back. It's hour number two of the Internet Advisor, and I tell you what we're doing, and it has turned out that this has become kind of a place where we roll up our sleeves and step back a little bit and kind of have a little fun. Slinging comments around about different topics that are out there in the news. And, of course, one that we can't avoid is the whole subject of net neutrality. And we just began to scratch the surface on this in the last hour. But, guys, we come back. Gary, you had an interesting comment about the young women who were part of our program in the first hour when I asked them about net neutrality. And you made that comment during the break. We were interested in having you follow up with your feelings or your thoughts on that at the start of this segment, talking about net neutrality.
Well, I think my comments surrounded the fact that the media and even some of the experts, for various reasons on both sides of the issue, are putting out misinformation, either unintentionally or intentionally, and we're confusing the public. And, you know, the net neutrality, you can't have no regulation, but you have to be very careful about over-regulating, I think, the internet. And the way net neutrality was implemented, it put all ISPs fell under the Telecommunications Act of 1934. And one would argue that that's probably not needed for the phones and utility companies that was supposed to regulate. And it's certainly not a really good regulation vehicle to regulate something like the internet.
Yeah, that really is, I think, probably a bigger issue than the controlling content.
Right. I mean, the Obama administration was just trying to find any tool they could use to try to shoehorn in there so that they could put in some sort of regulation. And what it really needed was some careful thought about, you know, what is actually needed. Do we need any type of regulation? And Gary, I like the phrase that you used before. I mean, because each of our internet providers, AT&T has done this, Verizon, a lot of them in the past have restricted certain types of media and asked for fees to get preferred service. That isn't the answer as well. But, you know, one of the things you said earlier was, you know, treat all media the same. Email, treat it all the same. Streaming media, treat it all the same. You know, it should all have the same priority.
You know, because they're all different, and streaming media, you don't want a buffer. So, Foster, you had mentioned what happens to you, right? You're watching Netflix right after midnight. All of a sudden, it goes into a buffering mode, right?
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? It's because probably a whole bunch of people in your neighborhood using, you know, a shared cable connection are, you know, have a cron job set up to automatically at midnight start backing up their computer to the cloud.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So why should that backup traffic? Because it's elegant enough to say, look, if I have to wait a little while or if I have to slow my connection down so I don't get in the way of streaming media going to anybody in the neighborhood, then, you know, they can do that. And then when all of you go to bed, it'll finish their jobs and go on. But this is the way the internet is designed to work. TCP/IP is Transmission Control Protocol, IP, Internet Protocol. It's designed so that when a node of the network goes down, the sender can send those packets that would have been lost on a different route. And then the IP part says, okay, what order should they be in, and reorders them again, and then puts them into your email inbox or wherever it's supposed to go, an FTP, a file transfer protocol, or a backup system. And, you know, you can't do that with streaming media. streaming media, yeah, you need every packet to go in order.
Yep. Right.
And if you interrupt it, it's gonna have a problem.
So how do we handle the issue that you talked about where, as you said, at midnight, suddenly, automatically, people are uploading.
Well, Gary just said it. He let the providers actually prioritize the data. Let streaming have a higher priority than the backup data,
yeah,
and let the internet providers make that case, and so that they can give their customers the best performance that they can get. Right? You know, streaming media and audio files. You know, higher and live voice over IP, give that a higher priority than backup and browsing and stuff like that.
And
now,
even email.
Email, put that in the low priority. But if that doesn't work in 5 years, you know, and we're still having this problem, something's going to have to take place.
So the problem is, you know, everybody says, well, maybe Verizon could make a deal with Netflix and Netflix will pay more. And they get a higher priority.
Right.
Right? So maybe if there has to be regulation, you say all like kind of traffic is treated equally.
Right.
But you can't make every type of traffic first come, first serve. Or you're going to get people buffering.
Right. Exactly. Do you think we'll come to a place where... we will be paying more for services that give us
less buffering.
Less buffering, yes. In other words, they say we're going to guarantee you your stream, and we end up then paying more for that.
So if
we
have net neutrality the way it's been implemented currently, then the answer will be we'll have to get a different service. And yes, we'll have to pay for it.
But you're saying with the elimination of net neutrality, that's not the case?
You wouldn't necessarily have to do that.
Right.
It doesn't mean you couldn't.
Yeah, but you
wouldn't necessarily have to.
But large corporations are notorious for trying to increase their, their profits.
Their profits. Yeah.
Well, and if they can, I'm hoping that they're going to do the right thing. Am I optimistic that they're going to do the right thing? No, I really am not. I mean, if they could show more profit to their stockholders, and they're going to do it.
That's their logic.
And people aren't going to live with, they're going to pay more for the content. It's what the market can bear, right? I guess. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, so we're seeing more and more wireless today. And there's a lot of companies that can compete on wireless.
That's true, too.
Where before, you couldn't compete. Comcast did an exclusive agreement with the city so they could be the only wired provider. Well, let them be the only wired provider. The rest of us will use wireless. And now we're interjecting competition again.
So that's why I like Gary. He thinks big. He always thinks big and broad.
You know, that wouldn't be so... and that's good, but, the problem is the broad amount of America doesn't think like Gary, which is really the sad part to it.
Right.
I really, really don't think anyone really concerns themselves that much about the issues with the internet and net neutrality, and they won't until it starts to actually impact them in some way, shape, or form. And I mean really impact them, more than just a spinning circle. For the most part, I think a lot of times this new generation, this generation that's always had the internet, I don't think they really care as long as they plug in and they get something.
Yes.
If they get something, they're fine. The only time they get upset is when they can't get on the internet.
That's exactly it.
And they've been going along with the flow the entire time. The ISPs have been raising prices on a constant basis.
Yeah.
They just pay it and keep going as long as the internet works.
We've got to find...
And we're getting way more service than we ever have over the internet.
We are getting more service. I will agree that, but I don't think the amount of service that we're getting is in direct proportion to the amount of increase in rates that we're getting.
I paid 50 cents for a candy bar in 1995, and now I'm paying a buck and a half. And so if I paid $20 for internet service then in 1995, which I did, then I should only be paying 60. But what I'm really paying is 80.
Yeah, but look at the difference, though. That candy bar is exactly the same.
Yeah,
nothing's changed. You don't get any more features with it.
Okay.
Hey guys,
talking about a candy bar in 1995, and now you're being served a whole meal.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's streaming, and streaming it takes a huge amount of fiber bandwidth than what we were using in 1995.
Well, guys, I'm going to take a quick break because we got to get Ben Carpenter on the air with us here. Gentleman farmer from Adrian, Michigan, has discovered something that's out there we, matter of fact, may have talked about before. It's called Shop Safe. And he's going to be talking about his experience with Bank of America and a Shop Safe card that he's using online. I think you'd be interested in this. Stay tuned. Coming up in just a moment here on the Internet Advisor. Well, in keeping with the holiday theme, we are having a family reunion going on today. With us on our phones is somebody who has been in the studio before, but started out as just one of the other listeners who loved to comment, and we found out was a fascinating person, and that is Mr. Ben Carpenter, who is a gentleman farmer from Adrian, Michigan. Ben, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Foster.
It's good to have you with us.
It's good to be here.
How are you and Grandma doing?
I'm doing good.
And Grandma's okay?
Well, Grandma's getting by, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
She's not doing as good as she'd like to do, but her age is getting away from her.
Oh, dear.
Look on the bright side. You're on this side of the grass with her, so that's good.
Yes, that's right.
Ben's age is still trying to catch up to him. You are somebody who is just full of life. You're well into your 80s now, aren't you, Ben?
I'm 79 right now. I'll be 80 in April.
Okay. You're still only in your 70s. And you're still working the farm.
Oh, yes.
How many acres do you work down there?
About 450, 460.
Wow. What are you raising?
Corn, soybeans, and wheat.
So is this your downtime of year then, where you're kind of, you know, sitting back and...
Yes, it is. From now until next spring.
Okay. All right. Well, while you've been sitting there, and you sent us an email, which I found fascinating, you are shopping, like a lot of people are at this time of year, online.
That's right.
You found a really neat way of dealing with the concern about the information we share over the Internet, especially when we're shopping. Tell us a little bit about ShopSafe.
I have a Bank of America Visa card,
mm-hmm.
and right. That's one of the features that they have is ShopSafe. And with ShopSafe, I can create a card number. I don't get a card. I just create the number. And I create a time that it's good for and a dollar amount it's good for. And then when I send that to a merchant, that's the only merchant that can use it.
Okay.
For instance, if I'm shopping online for something, and I oftentimes do this, I go online and I look at an item that I think I want to buy, and then I decide whether I really want to buy it or not. And then I go to my online banking with mm-hmm. Bank America,
mm-hmm.
and get on my account, and I create this number. And, for instance, if it tells me that the product is going to cost me $20 plus shipping mm-hmm. of $5 or so, I'll make a card out for maybe $30.
Mm-hmm.
That way it's be sure and be enough.
Yeah.
And then I go back online, and I tell the merchant that I want to purchase it for that $25 mm-hmm. or $20 mm-hmm. plus the shipping, which is $5,
mm-hmm.
then I receive the item in the mail or
sure.
UPS, whichever, however they ship it mm-hmm. later.
And now, by the way, Ben, is this ShopSafe thing, is it another service that you have to sign up for with Bank of America?
No, I don't know whether I signed up for it or not. I have it.
So it doesn't
cost me anything.
You know, I haven't had a chance to check this out yet, but I'm a Bank of America customer as well. And I was going to, matter of fact, while we're talking here, try to go online and see if I can find that ShopSafe because it was sounding really good. Now, you mentioned that you have a number, and that is attached to a certain dollar amount, right?
Yes. It creates me a new credit card number.
Okay.
And it gives me a chance to tell how much time it's good for. I think the minimum is 2 months and the maximum is 12.
Oh, okay.
So, Ben, if I could ask you now, when you want to use the ShopSafe card, that number that you create is honored anywhere they honor a Visa card. Is that correct?
It's attached to my normal Visa card, but the merchant only gets the number that I give them.
Correct.
Right, so it's only really good for online purchases and stuff like that.
It's only for online or on the phone because you don't get a card with it. You just get the number,
yeah,
and then you turn it in as either online or on the phone, whichever way it happened to be, where you don't have to show the card, or you don't have to swipe the card in a machine.
Right, right. So this is only for that one purchase, right? Just make this
clear.
That's
right. On the other hand, when I go online and get on my account.
Yeah, the Bank of America. Okay, gotcha.
Mm-hmm. It shows up there, and I click on that. It says create a ShopSafe number. And when I click on that, it comes up, gives me three options. I can view all the ShopSafe numbers I've created, or I can create a card for one-time use, or I can create a card for a reoccurring expense. For instance, like a phone company bill.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
You know, that sounds great because I know there's been a number of times I've wanted to purchase something. Like 2 or 3 years ago, I wanted to purchase something from Alibaba, you know, which is like the
Amazon
of China.
Right, yeah.
And I really didn't want to give my credit card number to a Chinese company and for a product that they were going to be going to some... It was on the other side of the mountains inside China. Anyways, it turned out to be a reputable company, lots of emails, but it turned out that federal laws prohibited them from shipping me a circuit board that I wanted.
Mm.
And it took about a month for me to get the fees back, but, you know, what I ended up doing is going to the store and getting a one-time use Visa. I really like this Bank of America card idea.
Mm.
That I mean, I could have done something similar to that. Now I have an ongoing relationship with Amazon and A Plus Auto and all these other, you know, Rock Auto that I buy parts from regularly all the time. But as many times as certain internet providers, you know, they're broken into and people's credit card information is taken.
And well, with a ShopSafe number, if for instance you have a business that you do business with regularly, but it's not like a phone company where it's the same bill every month,
right?
You can go in and you can increase the amount of time, also the time and the dollar amount both. You can increase them.
Now, can you specify that only one vendor can actually perform
only
charges?
Only one vendor can use that. For instance, I ordered something from a vendor a while back, and it was a national known vendor. And I ordered three items. They shipped one of the items, farmed the other stuff out to somebody else, and sent them that number. And they bounced because that company had already used that number.
Yeah.
It wouldn't work for the other company.
Actually, that's good news, because that says that nobody could take that number then and use it for another person.
Even their employees can't take it and use it.
I love it. That is really good.
And that's the reason that I limit the dollar amount to $5 or so above what I think it would be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And some companies don't give you the shipping information till you're checking out, and that makes you have to guess a little bit on what the shipping will be, and makes it a little more difficult to get the right amount out.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's notorious on sites like eBay. But you typically use a PayPal account where a person may only charge you $5 for the item, but they're charging you $20 shipping. You got to be really careful.
That's right.
On that, so.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm looking at, I'm on my phone and looking at, trying to get into the ShopSafe. It's a separate website that you get into from your regular Bank of America site.
Right, but you still
enter with your own credentials.
Yeah, your same credentials.
Right, same credentials. But
well, I'm not on ShopSafe right now, so I don't know. Can't tell you exactly where it's at, and I don't do it on a phone. I do it on a computer here.
Right, right, right.
But it's on the right hand side of the page,
mm-hmm.
not above where your all your bills have been posted.
Oh, so you're saying it is on the Bank of America website, and it's a tab
once,
on the top.
Once you have signed up for it.
Yes.
Because I just went into my account online now and looking for it, and it's not part. Matter of fact, there's a page that says things you can't do online banking, and ShopSafe was one of them.
Hmm.
But if you Google for or search for ShopSafe yeah. with Bank of America, that happens to be there.
For the cautious purchaser, this is a great idea. But for someone like
anybody
that makes 10 purchases a day, that it could be kind of troublesome. You know,
that's right. I can understand that.
Yep. Yeah.
I purchased 3 items in the past week, and one of them has came already, and one of them I got over the internet itself, and I use ShopSafe number on all 3 of them.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
I mean, I could stand doing it 3 times a week to feel safer.
They come to my regular bill for my Bank America bill, but they can't use them for any more than what the dollar amount
that
I set on it. Not more than one user can use it.
Right. That is really the key to it. Ben, I want to thank you so much for being with us this afternoon and for helping us to share this tip with other listeners out there who want to be safe when they shop. Ben Carpenter, always good to talk with you. You and Grandma have a pleasant winter as you relax and enjoy a little downtime from your busy farming life. Ben Carpenter, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for letting me talk.
All right. Thanks so much. Ben Carpenter from Adrian, Michigan, a longtime listener of ours and somebody who's giving us some good ideas about keeping safe. Hey, another listener coming up in just a minute. An old friend of ours named Paul Amici, who is calling from Houston, Texas. Kind of an old home week here on our Internet Advisor program. For many years, we got calls from this listener from Harbor Beach, Michigan. And that place is pretty cold right now. And so he moved to a place that's got a beach as well, but it's a whole lot warmer, and that's Houston, Texas. Paul Amici, how are you doing, my friend?
Terrific. Terrific. Merry Christmas. Get that out of the way now.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Buon Natale. Merry Christmas to you down there. Now, how many years have you been down there in Houston?
Over four
years. So I imagine you've gotten used to the fact that it doesn't snow anymore down there.
it snowed last week.
Wait a minute. Not in Houston.
I'm serious.
You're kidding me.
We got a trace of snow last week. It's the first time, I think, in 8 years they had snow here.
Well, all those people have to buy tires now. You know, down there, I've never seen so many people riding around in bald tires as when you're down in Texas or Florida.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, it was just a trace. It was gone, you know, in the afternoon. But a lot of people called in, you know, for work and stuff like that. They couldn't make it because of the snow.
Because they were out there looking at the snow and admiring it. That is astounding. I didn't know that it got that cold in Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm. It did this time.
Well, Paul, let's get down to why you are on the air with us. You called, or rather, you sent an email to us. And, folks, we love to get emails from our listeners. And this one was a really very spooky one that we got email from you on.
It's like a reboot of an email. They want money. Okay, but the way they went about this was so bizarre. A friend of mine, she lives in Las Vegas, and she got this email. And I can either quote it or recap it for you, whichever you'd like.
Yeah, go ahead and quote it. Well, recap it. And if you want, if there's some places you need a quote, go ahead. But go ahead.
Okay, she gets this email, and it says, I want you to take this seriously if you value your life and family. This is not a joke. I've been thinking that this is going to be worth it to do this. Apparently, the sender is trying to impress upon you that he's a professional hitman.
Good grief.
And I received an order to kill you. If you send me half a Bitcoin, I only accept Bitcoin, I will send you the details on who's doing this and all the information. Don't call the cops because it'll take them days to track this down, and the job will be done. Don't reply to the email. It's a one-shot deal. You know the email address?
That's a terrible pun, one-shot deal. Oh. From a hitman.
You know, if I was a paranoid person, you mean, I wonder how many people that are on medication would take this seriously.
Go ahead.
I have known people that have gotten involved in that, you know, send the money to Jamaica. I've known responsible people that, one of my neighbors just got hit for $16,000
Ouch.
2 weeks ago.
Because of one of these scams?
Because of a computer scam. I don't know the details.
Wow.
Hey, here's one.
But all I know.
Here's one that happened to me last week. I was with Grandpa. Remember I told you my wife's dad?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was sitting there with him, and he received a phone call that was the strangest one. It basically, Dad or Grandpa, this is Melissa. I'm sorry, this is very embarrassing, blah, 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 blah. Basically, I was pulled over by the police, and I need bail. The thing is, they knew his granddaughter's name.
Oh, okay. Wow.
The thing is, and Grandpa, and we're sitting at each other, and we're like, Melissa, are you okay? What happened? I know you're in the nursing field. What are you doing distributing medical marijuana? You're not supposed to do that. You know, this is all running through our head. And then, by the way, what happened was is that, okay, we took the phone number down. Call us when you get the money, and we'll send a deputy over to pick it up to the house. And then we got thinking about it. And I was going to bring this up to you, but Paul's story is so traditional. We're like, wait a second. Grandpa called him back and asked Melissa a private question. But the girl that was on the phone was basically an actress tears and choking, you know, because and sobbing. And you tell it was a girl, but you couldn't. It wasn't Melissa.
Wow.
Once he asked her about that one specific thing, they hung up on her.
That is fascinating. So they had an actress.
They had an actress
playing
there.
The part.
And the thing is, and they were going to send a deputy to the house. So this had to be someone that was local.
Yeah.
Knew the information and knew his address. And they're, you know, they're.
How much money was involved?
I think it was only going to be $7,000 for bail.
Well, Paul, in this particular case, a half a Bitcoin, and Ed, you and I were talking about this on the way in, Bitcoins have gone up to $18,000. So a half a Bitcoin would be like $9,000.
Yep.
Ouch.
That's frightening.
Well, what's pretty frightening about this thing is I received an order to kill you because...
Here's the other tough part.
You bothered some people, in other words. I've studied you for a time, and I made a decision to give you a chance despite the specifics of my job, the business ethic of which doesn't allow me to do this, as this will destroy my reputation. Oh, poor boy. Almost 11 years of impeccable executions. It's almost funny, but I decided to break some rules since this is my last order, hopefully. In general, let's break it down. I suggest you pay the half a Bitcoin. I only accept Bitcoin. Details how to send you will be able to on Google here, and it gives you details for doing that kind of thing.
So basically, you know, because I'm going to tell you, if I had to go out and get a Bitcoin today, I don't really know where to go first.
I know. I'd be dead.
So it sounds like, you know, if you wire this money to this email address I'm going to send you in Google, they'll convert it over to a Bitcoin and get it to me, which is no different than just wire the money directly to me, and that's just as well.
That's how it works, huh, Paul?
Apparently.
Yeah. Holy mackerel. But this is saying don't bother calling the police because by the time they figure this all out, I'll have carried out my hit. You know, they're threatening with death. If I saw something like this, I go to the police and say, this person is threatening to kill me. It's not just a scam, not just looking for money.
So she contacted the Las Vegas Police Department, and I don't know where it stands with them. But
okay.
She contacted the authorities.
Good, good. Wow, this is scary. Did you talk with her about it?
I just, I haven't talked to her straight up.
Mm-hmm.
We've been in contact, and I wanted to get permission,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I could send you this and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And she said, fine, go ahead.
Okay, okay.
And she obviously did not send them the money, correct?
No, she did not send them the money.
Good, good, good.
Good, 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 good.
See, this is why I don't read my email. No, just kidding. I don't read my spam folder, but I don't think this would have hit the spam folder.
I don't think so either, Cuddy. No, no. But I guess this is the most egregious, the most outrageous.
Something, stealing, and where you do it creative or whether you do it straight up, it's still the same thing.
But I never heard of somebody threatening to kill you if you didn't give them their money.
Oh, what's the difference?
Go ahead, Gary.
I'd be really upset. I mean, half a Bitcoin for my life, really? not any more than that?
Yes.
Wow.
Paul, how much would you want for your life?
Well, I just got to start hanging out with a higher class of people, I guess.
I mean, I like to think I'm at least worth a full coin.
Yeah.
Man, you know, here's half a Bitcoin. Go get them.
Oh, well, this is one of the craziest ones I have heard of to this date, Paul. That's why I wanted to get you on to talk about it. But also, thank you for keeping in touch with us throughout this time. Do you listen to the podcast down there?
I do on occasion. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'm not religious about it, but I do on occasion.
They get better if you drink a beer while you listen. I guarantee you that. Sometimes. They sound so much better.
I got to go to the store then and get some.
Well, he's Italian. You know that he's got a bottle of Chianti with him.
Cal is an Italian. Oh, you meant Paul.
I could be Italian. I don't think I've had a bottle of Chianti in years, but I'm willing to try.
Oh, good.
Oh, Paul, so how are you going to celebrate Christmas?
Family. We'll have the granddaughter will be here for Christmas.
I've seen your sweet granddaughters in your posts on Facebook. Just saw them the other day.
Yep, we're gonna have fun. That's gonna be a good day.
That was part of why you chose Houston, right?
Yes.
Wow. That is still boggles my mind. That is a big switch from Harbor Beach.
Yep.
Which is up on Lake Huron.
I'm from Detroit. I'm from Detroit to start. And when I was working, we got transferred to Buffalo, Greensboro, North Carolina, Winchester, Virginia, Charleston, West Virginia.
Wow.
Well, the moving wasn't anything special. You know, it wasn't one of those we're pulling.
Yeah, it's just time to pack up the bags and move again. It's just part of life now.
Well, we still haven't unpacked.
But you are retired now. You're no longer working for, it was Kmart, right?
Yes.
You know, I might as well ask this question, although I think I know the answer. The internet rates down there, are they any cheaper than they are up here?
We're living with my son and his wife, and they pay the bills. We do the food, and we take care of the house.
Nice arrangement.
We have direct TV and Comcast cable, or Comcast for our computer, for Xfinity. And I don't know what they pay for it, to be honest.
Well, with a deal like that, I wouldn't care either.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't ask too many questions.
Plug in, bake up a lasagna, and keep on going, baby.
That's another reason why they keep us here.
Well, it's a good thing that you're a good cook, my friend.
My wife is an outstanding cook.
Okay. And you do the chopping, right?
I do the eating. I'm an end user.
He's an end user. I love it.
All right. Paul, thank you so much for being with us and for sending us this email in the first place. One of the most outrageous scams I've ever heard of. But fortunately, your friend is in good health, and the hitman didn't make it to the front door. All right, Paul, take care of yourself. We'll talk with you soon. Until then, Merry Christmas to you and a Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody up there. Y'all take care.
All right, thank you. Hey, we're going to take another quick break, and when you come back on the other side, I want to talk about a brand new browser that's out there, and maybe we'll talk about some other things that are still in the news here. Coming back to wrap things up on the Internet Advisor. Well, guys, I thought we'd wrap things up here with a few other items that are in the news. And in particular, I don't know if you folks have seen what I think is it's been around for, I think, about a year, but it was new to me, is a new browser called...
Mozilla?
No, called Brave.
Not the Quantum or whatever it was.
No. This is a new one. Gary, have you heard of this browser?
You know, I haven't really heard this one, but, you know, there's over 100 browsers out there.
Yeah, I know there's Opera and a whole bunch of... This one is kind of interesting because Instead of blocking all ads, Brave seeks out the really intrusive ones known as malvertising that can install malware on your computer without you knowing it, and replaces them with their own advertising that's less intrusive on your privacy. And there's a whole scheme that they have for sharing revenue with the people who do the ads. So in other words, it's not like AdBlock, which completely blocks out. And I've been using that on Chrome. I know, does anybody else here use AdBlock on Chrome? Do you do?
No, I don't. I let the ads go through.
No,
I let the ads go through too. Okay. I mean, that's the only way we're going to keep internet free.
And that's the principle that Brave works from. And I tell you what, they claim, and I tested it out, they are blazing fast. If you go to Brave and download it for either your desktop or for your laptop, and Cal, you were asking before, it's all platforms.
Okay.
The thing about it is incredibly fast, and they claim that the reason for being incredibly fast is that they winnow out some of these ads. So
I'm just going to receive a bunch of casino ads then.
I hope not.
You know, for the benefit of our novice listeners, when we say platforms, we mean you can run it on Windows, you can run it on Mac OS, you can run it on Linux, you can run it on any operating system or the most popular operating systems that are out there.
Right. And this runs on all of them. And it's just, it is as fast as they say. And the nice thing about it, and Gary and Ed, you both mentioned this, when you block all the ads, you're blocking all of the revenue income sources for these people who are buying the ads. Now, there's plenty of obnoxious ones out there. It doesn't break my heart because they found other ways of getting at me.
Well, but it kills me when Gary says it keeps the internet free. I have never had free internet ever in my life. Ever. Never, ever, ever had I had free internet.
You know what is really intrusive is that I'm going to a website to click and so I can read an article, and then there's a commercial streaming in the right-hand column from CNET or CNN. I'm like, and a totally different topic. It's like breaking news, and I'm like, I'm trying to read an article here, you know?
That's true.
And no matter how I scroll, it's always on the side there, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
They have found a way of being intrusive that way.
But that's the creativity of the web designers. And
That's the reason why I'm going to upgrade to Mac OS High Sierra, because that Safari browser can stop that.
So it's not that the internet's free, but this is how the people that create the content get paid for their you know, to publish the content.
Right,
exactly. It's not that the internet's free, Cal. Just want to say that the content providers.
It was the content free.
Yeah. Oh,
thank you, Gary. I feel so much better now. I can pay my dollars and feel good.
They have an interesting, here's how they work with Brave. The company, let's see, okay, will keep 15% of the ad revenue for itself. Pay 55% of the revenue to the content publisher whose site the ad appears on. Give 15% to the ad partners. And finally, now this is an interesting thing, give 15% of the ad revenue to the Brave user, in other words, the browser user, who can then donate that money to bloggers and other content providers via micropayments, meaning that you decide which sites of those you love get the cash for the ads.
But what happens to the original ads that were supposed to be displayed?
They still get 15%. They still get 15% of the ad revenue.
Okay.
So I don't know if it'll be a successful
content.
Go ahead.
If I'm a content provider,
uh-huh,
and I know that if a Brave browser user if they go to my site, mm-hmm, and I only get 55%, why wouldn't I just say I'm not going to display this for any Brave user?
Fine. That's exactly it, probably.
That would be very brave of you.
But if I'm a Brave user and I want to get to ESPN, I can't use Brave anymore.
Well, apparently you're still doing, because I haven't seen any of the regular sites that I've been to that have been blocked off of here.
Well, it's flipping the model on its head.
Yes.
And I think what they want to do is induce change and let the people that are actually viewing it actually view the ads, because they're getting something back. And I think they're just trying something new.
Well, yeah, and it'll go for a while until, you know, if I'm a content provider and I'm using ad revenue to pay me and I don't get paid, I only get paid 55% of what I thought I was going to get paid. As long as Brave isn't a very big percent of the user base, probably not a problem. Probably won't deal with it.
Yeah.
But as soon as it becomes a bigger problem, I just block Brave users.
But if Brave is not going to give me the 15% directly, that I can only direct it somewhere else, I'm not going to use that browser. Now, if they were going to give me the 15%, like send me a check once a month or something to that effect, well, then I guess I'd be setting up a couple of hundred machines in my house and we'd be browsing Brave all day long.
By the way, I think part of this is also they use DuckDuckGo as their search engine, which has got that's a very tight security, am I right, on that? Your identity is pretty guarded on that. You don't share an awful lot of identity with it. Anyway, it's just fascinating to me. Right now, if you go onto it, it is blazingly fast. I haven't found anything that chokes the system there.
The browser might be blazingly fast, but I'm trying to download it right now, and it's blazingly slow.
Oh, is it? Oh, dear.
Maybe everybody's trying to take advantage of it. You never know.
It could be, yeah. I downloaded it on my phone a little earlier on, so it's there as well. In any case, guys, we have covered a lot of ground this week, everything from net neutrality to a brand new piece of browser. In the meantime, I wonder what's happened to Bitcoin. Can anybody find out where Bitcoin is right now? Because it got up to $18,000.
You know,
and we could have made so much money in 1 week.
The holidays are coming up. You know, what sort of technology are you looking for Christmas there, Foster?
Good question. I would love to get a wearable, like a watch. I would love to get one of those.
What about you, Gary? What are you looking for?
World peace.
Edward? If you could have some technology for Christmas, what would you like?
You know, I think I'd like a Surface or something.
Oh,
I heard that there's a couple new knockoff. Dell has one, and they're about half the cost.
Yeah.
Well, maybe two-thirds the cost, I should say.
Anything would be cheaper than Microsoft.
What's the Dell? What version is that with Dell?
You know, I was reading the review several days ago while I was sick, so it could have been the codeine. I'll have to go back. I don't remember, Gary.
I was just thinking, I kind of like the Surface. I just don't like the price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, since it's cheaper, it's probably called the Subsurface.
Oh, dear. And on that note.
Thank you.
I'm coming back next week. Is that okay?
Yes, please.
Okay, I will, then.
Please. I would feel very lonely if you didn't.
So we might as well add Gary in with it too, right?
Sure,
yes.
I'll make it.
All right. All right, guys. Take care. Have a rest of the great weekend. And we'll be back with all of you out there on our next podcast with the Internet Advisor. Till then, have a great week.